And I want you to open your Bible with me in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And I would like to begin this important message telling you about the top 10 that I have. Things that you will have, you don't have to worry in 2016. Okay? If you worry about that, what God's gonna bring us in 2016, please don't worry, because I have these 10, top 10 that I have. First, the Bible will still have the answer of all our question. Amen? Prayer will still at work. Amen? The Holy Spirit still move to each one of our lives. Amen? God will still inhabit the praises of His people. As we sing this morning, I believe that, you know, I feel like I'm gonna shout to the Lord. Amen? There still be God-anointed preaching. Amen? There will still singing of praise. God will still pour out blessings upon His people. How many believe that? Amen? There still be room at the cross, and Jesus will still love you. Amen? And Jesus will still save the lost. So those are my top 10 this morning. I don't have to worry about what God is going to bring us, whether we're going to renew this contract here or not, but there's always God is going to bring us to a better place. Amen? So are you ready on Genesis chapter 24? Are you there already? And I'm gonna read to you a very lengthy verses. But it's good, because the title of my message this morning is How to Have a Prosperous New Year. How many wants to have a prosperous new year this morning? Year 2016. Anybody? All right. You came to the right place. Amen? So I'm going to read chapter 24 in the NIV, and we're going to read verses 1 to the last 67. I think it's 67. Yeah, 67 verses. Okay? Are you ready? Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant of his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send this angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camel and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the offspring, and the daughters of the town people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I will water your camel too, let her be the one who have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. Verse 17. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camel too, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the dough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and draw enough for all his camel. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camel had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka, a 2 gold bracelet weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And she said, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's arm and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went to the man and found him standing by the camel near the spring. Come, you who are blessed by the Lord, he said, why are you standing about here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man went to the house, and the camel were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camel, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. Then tell us, Laban said. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed me, my master, abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He had given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, manservant and maidservant, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughter of Canaanites, and in whose land I live. But go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back to me with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath even if they refuse to give her to you. You will be released from my oath. Then, and when I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord, God of my masters Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if he says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camel too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Verse 45. Before I finished praying, in my heart, Rebekah came out, and her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camel too. So I drank, and she watered the camel also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelet on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master brother for his son. Now if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, if I not, tell me so I may know which way to turn. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servants heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver, jewelry, an article of clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her mother replied, let the girl remain with us 10 days, so then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way, I may go to my master. Then they replied, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her maids get ready and mounted their camels and went back with the men. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in Negev. He went out to the field and on one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So they took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted upon his mother's death. Amen, amen. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story, Lord, of Isaac, how he found a wife, Lord. But the things, Lord, that really struck us, Lord, it's that not only Isaac is involved, Lord, but the mother and the father and the servant is all involved in looking for a wife for their son. And Father, we pray that as we read this, Lord, this study, this story, that we may extract some valuable principles, Lord, of prosperity in our life. And Father, we thank you, God, that you have put this story in our in front of us today so that we may learn, Lord, things, some nuggets that we can apply in our own life. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. What a love story. Isn't that amazing? The love story of Isaac and Rebecca. And the background is this, is that Abraham is getting old and he wants a wife for his son. And Abraham has a son of promise, which is Isaac. And then it came a time when Isaac needed a bride. And Abraham desires to obtain a bride for his son Isaac in similar manner that God desires to have a bride for his son. You know, there's always a spiritual application. Even it's in the Old Testament, it's a story of physical or natural thing, but everything is spiritual. I don't know if you believe that you know, physical was made first and then spiritual. And we are a spirit being. So everything that we have in the Old Testament, there is a spiritual application in our life. And so is this. You know, as Abraham is looking for a wife for his son, and the same thing with God the Father, is looking for a bride for his son Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And then the Holy Spirit is the mission of the Holy Spirit is to bring that son, that groom to Jesus Christ. And Abraham sent most trusted servant Eliezer off on a mission to get a bride for Abraham's son. And Eliezer came back with a beautiful bride named Rebecca. Abraham typifies that. Abraham is God, and Isaac typifies God's son, and Eliezer, it typifies God the Holy Spirit. And it is to seek a bride for Isaac. Amen? And we read this verse, this lengthy verse, and it mentioned four times the word success. Because God wants us to be successful. God wants us to experience the benefits that we have been talking about this morning. Amen? So there are five simple steps in the process of being a successful, success in whatever things that we do. The first thing that we do is we need to establish our cause. Do you know why are you here? That's the question that we need. We need to ask ourselves. To have a cause is you need to know why we are here in this earth. Are we just simply living? Or are we just simply fighting to live and living to fight? Are we wandering without knowing where we're going? We need to be aware of this crazy trend, those goals that, you know, it's the trend is about this. The trend is about Wi-Fi or selfie. So if only I can buy a cell phone, or the trend is something like buying a house. If I want to buy a house. Or the trend is something that are crazy. So we have to be careful with that. Amen? If you do not know where you're going, then what does it matter? If the alarm clock goes off on time or not. Amen? If you do not have a definite cause, then you are like a ship without a rudder or a compass in the dark night. So in order for us to be successful, we need to establish the cause. And that cause is that we need to beware on those trends, those goals that are crazy. Amen? There are some people who never make plans about anything in their lives. All of us should have some sort of goals in our lives. If your goal is specific enough that you could write down on a paper, that is very important, to write down on a paper on what are your goals? What are you trying to do? So we need to be beware of unworthy goals. Not only a crazy goals, but you know, those unworthy goals. Or sometimes we don't have a goal. And sometimes we say, what are you planning to do? Oh, I don't know. And then you ask them, so what you gonna do? Oh, I'm undeclared. See? So we need to be, if we want to have our cause, we need to have something. We need to have something that drives us, that wakes us up in the morning, that we have a reason to wake up. Amen? People can be rich and famous and still not be successful. You can have a power and still not be successful. Somebody said that the definition of failure is succeeding at the wrong things. When a person tries to be successful without God in their life, that person will fail miserably. Failure is often succeeding at the wrong things. Amen? Do you have any worthy goals? Is your goal God-given? Does that thing that moves you and move God, does it create enough motivation for you to say, this is one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward what is ahead. For the goal that God has given me. So does the cause of your life demands of you your very best? Is there anything in your life that requires every ounce of you for it is successful? In the cause that you have selected, can you honestly ask God to bless your path and give you success? Can you honestly get on your knees and ask God to help you accomplish your goal for His glory? So those are things that we need to ask ourselves. And especially in this year, 2016. And I believe this is the year. This is it. If you're waiting for the Lord, this is it. I think He's coming this year. Amen? Like Sister Mai, He's coming this year. Amen? So we need not only to be aware of a crazy or trendy cult goals. What I mean, you know what's going on. You see what's going on in the computer. So you need to buy another computer because that new computer, you know, that Surface is another good computer. So beware of those trendy things that are going on. And then beware on those unworthy goals. Not only that, beware of unbalanced goals. See? God gave us two legs so that we can have a balance. We need to have a specific goal for every areas of our life. And let me ask you this question. If you get to where you are going, where will you be? If you accomplish your goal, what will you have? And if you accomplish your goal, all things? Or are these things are you living for worth Jesus dying? So those are the question that we need to arise. We need to ask ourselves. If you get to where you are going, where will you be? If you accomplish your goal, what will you have? Amen? So those are the two questions that we need to ask ourselves. If we have a cause that motivates us, that wakes us up in the morning and drives us. Amen? That brings me to second, number two. Step in the process of success. Examine our condition. Let's read that. Verse 25, Genesis 25, verse 5 to 11. Genesis 24, 5 to 11, it says, examine our condition. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there. Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine, only not to take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camel and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time when the women go out to draw water. So, Eliezer, he examined his condition. In order for him to get where he was going, he had to know where he was. What is obvious is that Eliezer studied the situation and know what steps were in order to accomplish his mission. So Eliezer, not only that he was given the mission, but he studied the mission of what he's gonna do. He examined his own condition. Then he examined the steps were in order to accomplish his mission. Then he knew that God was calling him to go to the land where he had never been there. Right? Met a woman that had never met. Then he knew that he had to convince her to leave her relatives, to leave the mother and the father and return with him to be with Isaac. We must take an honest inventory of our lives. If you were to come to see me, You see me at home, you called me on the phone and asked for the direction, the first thing that I would ask you is that where you are now. Right? If you ask me for a direction, the first thing that I'm gonna ask you is that where are you now? Right? Therefore, we must analyze or diagnose our problem. We need to know what stand between us to accomplish that cause. Right? Where are the roadblocks? Just because we have obstacle does not mean that God is not with us. The door of opportunity swings and hinges of opposition. Problems are simply opportunities turned inside out. Did you know if there were no problems, then we would not have jobs? Did you know that? If we don't have problems, then we don't have jobs. And that's why, Brother Ray, do you think if IRC doesn't have a problem with money, do you think they will hire you? Huh? If there is no sick people, Pat, do you think Patton will hire you? If there is no crazy people, do you think they will hire you? So it's the problem. We can embrace the problem because that's why they need us. Right, Brother Vic? If this student you're teaching, if they need, they don't want to go to pursue jobs, they will not come to you. They will not go to school. Right? We are not paid to do nothing. Amen? We are not paid to do nothing. In fact, our wealth or value will be determined by how well we can solve the problem. Right? See, we don't have to vote for Osama and Obama if he cannot solve the problem. Amen. So we need to stop complaining about our problems, right? See, Eliezer looked at the problems and then he developed a plan. See, you know what Eliezer did? He acted before going to the mission to find the wife for Isaac. He acted. He acted what he's gonna do. Right? He said that if I arrive there to that place and if there's a woman that will come and she will offer a water, then this might be it. But then he said, and then when she offered a water to my camel, and do you know how many camels he brought? 10, right? He brought 10 camels. Do you know how much water does the camel drink? 10. One camel could drink 30 to 40 gallons in 13 minutes. So let's see, 40 gallons plus times 10. 400 gallons. Can you imagine that? A lady pouring, giving water. Amen. So Eliezer looked at the problem and then he developed a plan. He was going to find the right girl. Then he was going to invite her at home. Then he was going to share the promises of God with her. Then he was going to pop the question. Then he's going to ask the parents for permission. He was going to bring back to Isaac. There's nothing wrong in planning, right? So we need to plan. So God planned my redemption before he created me, before he created the world. Amen? So the first thing, if we want to be successful in 2016, the first thing is that you find a cause that wakes you up early in the morning, that kicks you up, that makes you running. It's not the caffeine that you drink, but it's something, the cause that makes you wake up in the morning to go and accomplish that plan. And then number two is that we need to examine our condition. That if you're gonna do this today, where am I going to be? Amen. And number three, encourage our confidence. You know what? Chapter 5, verse 24, verse 12. Let's look up that again. 5 to 12, it says, the servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me in this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country where I came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there. Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out from my father's household and my native land, who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying to your offspring, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son there. And there, if the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the tithes of his master and swore an oath to him concerning this master. Then the servant took 10 camels. Hey, look at that. Camel and left, taking him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. And he had camel nailed down the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to the draw water. Then what he said? He prayed, O Lord God of my servant, my master Abraham, give me success and show kindness to my master Abraham. So here, in the number 3, encourage our confidence. And sometimes, you know what? There's nobody there in your side. Your wife or your husband or your children is not there available for you to encourage you. And sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Amen? We need to begin with the promise factor. Look at that. Abraham said, you know what? God has promised me. See? Your offspring, they gave me the land, that he's going to give me a land, that he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife from my son there. So first thing that Abraham did is that you have to encourage himself, to encourage our confidence. Because here, God has given him the promise. God will send his angel ahead of you. And we need to get the word of God. Amen? Because there are more promises here in the Bible than the problems. Amen? So we need to continue with not only the promise factor, but also there's a profit factor. There's a profit factor in there. All right? So we need to know that the benefits. Isn't it amazing how we talk about the benefits that we have this morning? That indeed, the lesson that we have is talking about the benefits that we have when we obey God. Amen? We need to know the benefits for accomplishing our goal. Where is the payoff? What is the bottom line? See, the real motivation comes from a proper motives. Once you see what the profit is, you determine the why, and God will show you the how. Amen? Once you determine the promise factor, right? First, you determine, find the promise factor. And then you will determine, because due to the promise factor, the profit factor will kick in. Amen? We need to know the benefits for accomplishing our goal. Where is the payoff? What is the bottom line? And see, the real motivation from proper is having a proper motives. Once you see what the profit is, you determine the why, and God will show you the how. The big question is my whole life built around bringing bride to Christ? Amen? The bottom line, the reason why you have the confidence, because our motives, it is that you're bringing people to Christ as a bride. Amen? Just as Eliezer applied the promise factor and the profit factor, he also applied the prayer factor. That should be a prayer factor. Look at verse 12. It says, verse 12, then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success. That's success again. Today, and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, there is so much promises that God has given us. The benefits that we have overall the problems that we encounter. Amen? See, to his life, we are daily prayer that God will turn obstacle into opportunity. If we are not praying about our cause, then do not think that the cause is God-given or depending upon God to help you accomplish. Amen? And the fourth one, we need to enforce our character. Enforce our character. Eliezer, verse 24, verse 21. Look at that. Verse 21, it says, without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not, the Lord had made his journey successful. See? And then in verse 31, "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said. "Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camel." And then in verse 56, it says, "But he said to them, 'Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master.'" See, Eliezer, notice this. Eliezer disciplined his life. He disciplined his decisions. He looked at Rebekah and asking himself as to whether she was the one or not. He did not make a rash decision. He was careful. So Eliezer also disciplined his appetite. In verse 31, we look at that one. Verse 31. It says, "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said. "Why are you not standing out here? I have prepared a house and a place for your camels." So Eliezer, we can see Eliezer here, he disciplined, not only he disciplined his decision, but he also disciplined his appetite. There are times that we must set aside some birthday parties. Sometimes there are times that you don't have to watch the Lakers game. And sometimes there are some times that we don't have that TV program. So there is no easy or fast way to walk with God. Amen? You must discipline yourself. Amen? So not only that Eliezer disciplined his decision, not only that Eliezer disciplined his appetite, but also he disciplined his time. In verse 56, he says, "Hinder me not. Do you think God would tell you to do something and not give you enough time?" Right? Look at verse 56 of chapter 24. He says, "But he said to them, 'Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master.'" So Eliezer, he disciplined his time. His time, that's time for him to go back. Amen? So someone have said, when your professional life outpaces your personal life, then you will have stress and will bring stress to other people. What does it mean? See, when your professional life, see, like for example, you're working, and then you bring your work home, you know what? It's just a matter of time, you will be stressed out, because your professional life should not intervene with your personal life. You know, I used to work at CSDR, California School for the Deaf in Riverside. I could not balance my year-end closing. I had to take it home. And then pretty soon, your time is being, your personal time is being taken. And you know what? Stress start to boil up. Amen. That's why I would suggest you, don't bring your work at home. And if it's time to take a day off, take a day off. It's time to take a break, take a break. Because that's legal to take a break. Amen. But don't mix up with your professional time and your personal time. Always take a vacation when it's time to take a vacation. Amen? How many are with me this morning? Amen. So, do you think that God calls us to bring the bride to Jesus Christ and not give us the needed gift or skill to accomplish this? God has given us gifts, not toys. We are using this gift to help fulfill the Great Commission. There are so many people who are wasting their gift and getting so little in return. Amen? That will bring me to my number 5, process for success. Enlist your comrades. Verse 24, verse 49. Are you still in Genesis? Chapter 24 and verse 49. It says, "Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so I may know which way to turn." So Eleazar knew that this was not a one-man show. When people are prosperous, they have learned to be dependent upon one another. Are you a cooperative person? Have you learned to delegate? Are you willing to cooperate? Somebody says that snowflakes is different from one another. But when enough different snowflakes get together, they can stop a traffic. Right? I have learned so many principles in life. One principle among many that I have is learned is when God calls you to task that is bigger than you, then He brings around people who are capable of accomplishing the task together. See, we watch that movie, Prayer Room or War Room? War Room. You know? He is not the only one that is praying. He encouraged one person to go with him for praying. Amen? You need to ask your compadre or comadre. Because success, we cannot do it being ourselves alone. It's not a lone ranger tactic. Success is that when you call your comadre and compadre and to have a fellowship and prayer. To go with you. Amen. If you want to be a successful person this 2016, first thing that we need to do is that we have to know the cause, the reason why we are here. What is your reason to be here in this world? Are you just occupying the space? So we need to know the cause. And then number 2 is that we have to examine our condition. That if we take this way, where are we going to take it? Where are you going to take that path? Where are you going to be? And then number 3, encourage our confidence. Because there are more promises here than problems. Amen? And sometimes you think that you really at the end of the stick. But you know what? When you look up other people, problems, you're still on the top. Okay? Not only that, but also not only to encourage our confidence, but also to enforce our character. Character, that's why God is changing us. He is not after our comfort. He is after our character. To be the bride of Christ, you must have that character that is looking for us. Amen? And not only that, enforce our character, also we need to enlist our friends. Amen? And that's, we will find a prosperous year for all of us. Amen? Do you desire to have a prosperous new year? Do you want God's blessing to be in your life this year? Do you want to turn problems into prosperity? Amen? It's up to us. It's up to you. Prosperity is not because somebody gave you some money. Prosperity is that it's a God's plan for our lives. And each one of us, God wants to be a perfect bride. That when He comes back, He has a perfect bride. Amen? So that if you're looking for something else, no, you might be successful but miserable. Amen? Because all the things that we have, we cannot carry that anyway. Amen? But God is looking for a perfect bride. And that's why He's changing our character. Amen? So those are the five things that we need. We need to study and apply these things in our life. And you know what? Prosperity will come in so many shape and form in our life. Amen? Shall we all stand? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You, God, that we could come, Lord, and we pray, Lord Jesus, to let these words, these scriptures that we read, Lord, to come into alive in our life, Lord Jesus, that we may be able, Lord, to do Your will and forgetting those things that are behind us, Lord, things that is ugly, Lord God, in the year 2015, Father God, and You give us the goal, Lord, that we can reach out for this year, 2016. And Father, we pray, Lord, for every person that stand before You today, God, that they will be conscious, Lord, and serious about what we have talked about. That prosperity comes with Your own plan, Lord God, in our life. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for every person, Lord, today, that we could come, Lord, in your presence, Lord God. And Father, as we bring our tithes and offering to Your storehouse, we pray, Lord God, that You will bless us, that will prosper us, Lord, in every areas of our life. And as we do Your will, Lord God, that You will give the glory and honor all belongs to Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.